I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl, and I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together, this is...
Me! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Hey, Tay, doing good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Tell me, do you have anything good to drink this week?
I had something amazing to drink this week.
Amazing?
Amazing. Our guest that we had on, I don't know how long it's been now, quite a few months ago, that brought us Wayward Spirit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got my combo pack of Wayward Spirit. You get a little bit of a discount if you order both of them together. And so I did, and I got the, you know, both of them, and I got to try them out. And I was making like espresso martinis with the clear one. I made mudslide. They have recipes on their website for these different ones. So I was making those. And then with the whiskey one, I tried a whiskey sour and I tried a paper plane, and they were all really good. And the thing that I found though, that really surprised me, the whiskey one, especially, I like just putting that in a glass with one big ice cube in it and drinking it that way.
Really?
It's really smooth. It's like the smoothest. There's no, I don't know, sometimes when you drink like straight bourbon or something like that, you drink it and it's kind of like the fumes come back up after you swallow it down. It's like, whoa. And you don't get that. It just goes down and it's like, oh, that was good. So I really enjoyed it. I was drinking it straight by the end of the evening because it was so good. And that's the clear nice. One to me, when you drink it straight, just to taste it, it has almost more of a tequila feel than anything else, more than gin or vodka or something. It's more like a tequila.
That's fascinating.
So I really enjoyed it. I have been trying to get anybody that is willing to come try this and see what they think.
Good reviews so far.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, when you drink it, you know, it's really different from any other thing that you would get like that.
I got to try to get a hold of some. It sounds good. I'd like to try it. Save me some for, who knows when I'll be home again. Yeah,
it was good. I thought I'd find that lady's address and let email address, not home address, her email address from when they set the podcast up, and send it to them. Tell them I did have it and we did enjoy it and I gave it thumbs up reviews.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, and if you're curious, if you didn't listen to that episode, when was that back? Was it like spring, summer of last year?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been six or eight months, I would think.
Yeah. Wayward Spirits. It was really, really fun having her on. We don't often get guests on here, but that was a fun one.
Yeah. Made from whey instead of from grain.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. It's a sustainable, completely sustainable community that they use to make that.
Very cool. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you got to try that.
Yeah, me too. I didn't think I ever would. That I'd been trying and it wouldn't show up when you put in West Virginia. It's like, nope, It wouldn't even let you order anything. It would bring up the screen to order anything. And so every once in a while, I'd get their emails because I signed up for their emails. And I get the email, and I just click on it just to see, and they always rejected me. Then this last time I clicked on it, I went, wait, it just took me to the screen to order. And I ordered and put in your card. Oh, it worked. I'm getting whiskey.
Finally expanded just for you. That was it. They're like, we got to get this guy in West Virginia his whiskey.
They found where West Virginia was. It just took them that long to find it.
That's fair. My favorite conversation to have with somebody is when I say I'm from West Virginia and they'll tell me something about Virginia that they know. And I'm like, yeah, that's Virginia. I'm from West Virginia. And then they'll say something else about Virginia. And I'm like, well, right. That's a different state, but okay. It takes a while. And then I finally have to say, you know, it's another state. Oh, really?
Like, yeah. I've gotten that question last time. Now, is West Virginia a different state than Virginia?
No.
Yes. Have you ever counted to see where the 50 states come from? You know, if it's not, where is the 50th one?
Yep. I'm like, oh, yeah, West Virginia. Oh, Richmond's nice. I'm like, yeah, Richmond is nice. It's in Virginia.
Hell yeah. We beat Alaska and Hawaii. We were here before them.
Well, you know, it's a common misunderstanding that the state exists.
Well, we ought to call it Best Virginia. Then maybe
there we go. Well, I didn't have anything nearly as exciting this week.
You didn't?
No, I don't think I can. I don't think I even have anything to contribute that's equal to that.
Oh,
it was a busy week at work, and I had inventory, and I had a lot of prep to do, and I don't know. I had maybe some sad beers after work one night. That's about it.
Sad beers. Well, you had a good conversation with a guy from England about gin.
I did. I had a customer who had a very excellent gin collection that he's moving to the States and he's moving his gin with him. And it was, having a British person want to talk gin with you, it's like a test.
Yeah. They love their gin.
I think I passed it all right. But this week's episode, it was inspired by one of our listeners.
Yeah. Send in the suggestion for it.
That's right. Which you are always welcome to do. If you've got a spirit that you'd like to know a little bit more about or a cocktail, just, you know, email us. You can email us at neattheboozecast@gmail.com or, you know, wherever, you can get a hold of us. And so thank you for reaching out to us specifically about, something called Baron Jaeger.
Baron Jaeger. Have you heard of Jägermeister, but I'd never heard of Baron Jaeger.
Yeah. Well, this person wrote in to ask if we knew anything about it and how we would use it in a cocktail. So I think we can help you out there.
Yeah. We researched it and figured that out, huh?
You know, I remember the first time I ever actually had Baron Jaeger was years and years ago. Our family used to play a football game every Thanksgiving called the Turkey Bowl. And one of our cousins brought a bottle of it to, it was a cold day to play the Turkey Bowl. And one of our cousins brought a bottle of it to the field. And that was back, I guess this was before its bottle change. Cause it was this like kind of the bottle looks like a beehive and it had like a wicker basket sort of woven around it. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was very sweet. And it was very honey. And he described it just as it's honey Jägermeister. And that's what I always kind of thought it was. I thought it might've been in the Jägermeister family, which of course we've talked about Jägermeister extensively.
Right.
But that is not exactly the case.
No, it's just in kind of it's an overlapping German name.
Well, there's some relation between the names, the styles, and even in ownership. But yeah, they aren't versions of each other. Jägermeister means master hunter. Baron Jaeger means bear hunter. So same German word. They both are sweet and have like a strong spice profile. But Jägermeister definitely sits closer category-wise to like what we think of as like Italian bitters like an Amari. Mm-hmm. Whereas if Baron Jaeger was close to anything, I'd say probably like Benedictine, which you talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. Just far more like a sweet spiced liqueur, doesn't have a lot of bitter, doesn't have like that kind of earthiness to it. And to sort of add to the confusion, they are handled by the same company, but completely different distillers, completely different distilleries.
Yeah. I don't remember. I was at that same turkey bowl that you were, and I don't remember that being there. I wasn't aware of it. Might have just been because it wasn't anything, you know, that I would have seen day to day. So I had never heard of it before. So I didn't know if you would know when I got that question and told you about it, whether you would even know anything about it or not.
I think that was my only previous experience with it. I don't think I've ever seen it on a back bar that I've worked behind. So I've never actually gotten to play around with it, but I have had it straight from the bottle standing out in the cold on Thanksgiving.
Well, they recommend that it's very good that way.
It is. It is. It'll keep you warm. But now, and specifically, I mean, we keep saying honey. It is just that. It is a German honey liqueur, and it is just grain neutral spirit and honey. Very simple. And then like natural flavors, but a very kind of light, mild spice profile. Now to its history, we can of course find honey in spirits. I mean, all the way back to antiquity, right? Ancient civilizations, the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, they were putting honey in their spirits and their wines.
Mead.
Yeah. But if we narrow the window down to specifically distilled spirits and honey, that gets us up to around the 15th century. Some of the first people to tinker around with what would eventually evolve into our subject of the day were the monks, always on the monks. Cutting edge of
there's new alcohol booze. To be found. The monks will find it.
Yeah. There's traces of like this sort of this concept of this, you know, honey distilled spirit back to the Benedictine monks who we've talked about before. But these specifically were located in Belarus. And they became known for something called Krupnikas, which was just honey distilled spirit. Now, I think it's, again, to clarify, the Benedictine monks were the inspiration for Benedictine, but they did not make what's now the bottle on the shelf that's Benedictine. That was a 19th century product that was inspired by recipes supposedly made by the Benedictine monks. I do think it's interesting that they're both kind of similar flavor profiles. So this could have been one of the recipes that the founders of Benedictine were looking at when they created Benedictine, the product. But the Benedictine monks were making this honey liqueur back in the 15th century. And it's not currently related to Baron Jaeger as well. Now, as these things generally go, it starts in the monastery, then the nobility kind of picks up on it. And then all of the common men start making their own like household versions of it, whatever the popular thing is. So before long, it had spread to the nobility, and then everybody and their mother had their own personal recipe for their version of Krupnikas.
Well, probably once it spread to the nobility, the first thing they did was tax it on everybody else.
Well, then you got to start making your own.
Buy from them.
Exactly. So we're just going to – it's just honey and booze. We can figure this out. And it spread all around through what is modern day Poland, Lithuania, and of course this tasty honey moonshine was around in what is now modern day Germany in the 15th century. But the unique path it took to become Baron Jaeger, well, it's unique because it involves bears.
Yeah.
It's one of those stories that honestly, we've encountered so many back label stories that sound like bullshit, nice bullshit, fun, creative bullshit, but bullshit. And this one kind of sounds like that too, but it's by all accounts, it's true. This is the true origin for it.
Well, it's got a picture of it actually happening on the label. So it's got to be real.
I mean, it's an illustration. That's not a photograph.
Well, that's because they didn't have good cameras back in the 1700s.
It's AI from back in the day. It was already common knowledge that, I mean, you know, bears are drawn to honey and,
read Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Medieval hunters would coat their bear traps in honey or whatever kind of honey thing they had. So honey liqueur, you know, you've got your local jar of your house-made honey booze. You're going to put that on your trap and that's going to help lure the bears out. Seeing a business opportunity here, there was a Prussia-based bear trap company called Tuck & Koenig, and they decided to get into the honey liquor business to sort of diversify their bear related portfolio. So they take, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, originally it was called Bear and Fang because that meant bear trap.
Well, that's, yeah, they put that name on it first.
I mean, it had nothing to do with the distilled spirit. That was what they called the concoction that they made for the bears was Bear and Fang. Yeah. It evolved into Baron Jaeger, which basically means bear hunter. When the bear hunter started drinking the bear Fang because they liked it.
Well, and Tukin Konig kind of engineered that. Like they would sell it. They tinkered with that traditional recipe so that it was very drinkable and, you know, nice for the hunters. And then they marketed it as, hey, you can use this on your traps. You can also drink it. You know, kind of works both as bear attractor, but also liquid courage for the fact that you're going out and hunting bears.
Well, you know, this to me, this brought two things to mind. The first was God's own drunk and the bear that got hold of the still and drank it. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the bear got drunk up there. Did the bears come out and get drunk, drink honey stuff, and then you shoot them when they're drunk?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, seem right.
At first, it seemed like it's just for the smell of the honey. You know, they're just going to get drawn to the smell. But I don't know. Maybe add a little for the bear there, too, because if you got to go with something nice.
And Jimmy Buffett said, I love every hair on your 27-acre body when the bear approached him because they were both drunk from drinking a moonshine.
Yep.
He said, if you tear up my still, I'm going to kick every goddamn one of you right off the mountain. That's a great song. There's a lot of history there with how that song went. It wasn't in his usual repertoire because the guy that originally wrote it did not like him doing it. Was his song. Yeah. So it got very little airplay, but it's a great song. But then the other scenario that popped to mind was Cocaine Bear.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What is it with bears and illicit substances? Why have we connected these two things so thoroughly?
Apparently they like illicit substances. I guess.
I guess so.
Bear get all jacked up on honeydew vine water. And start running after those bear trappers.
I don't know. Well, that's, I don't know. I think a drunk bear, I would rather go against a drunk bear than a coked up bear. Just, you know.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. That cocaine bear is going to have a lot more energy than that drunk bear.
Yeah, he did right up till the time he just dropped dead.
You got to outrun him, but that's I don't want to try that. Yeah, well, no, this is, they used it. They used it for hunting. The name kind of like you mentioned, like it was Baron Fang. It was also sometimes called Meshkins, which means male bear. Mm-hmm. But the name didn't become Baron Jaeger until around the 1800s. They did sort of a brand redesign, name change, changed the recipe a bit. And that's when it got the Baron Jaeger name, which he said bear hunter. But it remained relatively the same recipe. I mean, it's remained the same up through modern times since then. The bottle has changed around a bit. You know, that kind of like we were talking about with the Chambord bottle that used to have the beautiful golden belt on it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the Baron Jaeger bottle went through the same sort of modernization in the last couple decades. So now it's streamlined. There's no like woven basket on it. It still sort of looks like a beehive, but I like the old bottle better.
Well, the old bottle, yeah, it had that funny cartoon looking bear on the front with the guy in furs hiding on the other side of the honeycomb, the beehive. And then also the top looked like a plastic beehive that you unscrew to open the bottle up. Yeah. So I think they kind of looked at it and thought, well, this looks a little cheesy. And so they tried to sexy it up there with the bottle. Now it's like this glowing amber bottle, and you know, they have a very dignified looking bear and man on the front getting ready to do battle there. So
I get it, but I feel like I like quirky alcohol bottles that feel like a little bit goofy or magical, a little bit like a prop, you know, like I The original bottle looked like something that you would dig out of the back of some weird old monk's medicine cabinet, and maybe it would be tasty liquor. Maybe it would turn you into a bear. I don't know. It could be a spell. Now it just, well,
it sounds like it'd be good. I would be definitely willing to try this. That's, it really sounds good.
Well, and there are a couple now. There are only, I think there are only two products that you have in the American market. You have the classic Baron Jaeger, and they also have a Baron Jaeger and bourbon mixture that's for mm-hmm. sale. For a while, I think they launched in like 2012, they had a honey and pear and a honey and tea flavored spirit. Oh, yeah. But those, I couldn't find those on their website anymore. They don't seem to be anywhere for sale, but you can still find the bourbon, which was interesting because at first I thought, what's a bourbon? But it's made in Germany, which is against the laws of bourbon. But that's one of those things where if you buy properly made American bourbon and blend it into your spirit, right, then you can still have bourbon on your label. You can't call it, like, they couldn't call it honey bourbon. They have to call it bourbon and honey.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, because that's what they did. They did get Kentucky made bourbon to mix in with it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like to me like you could pour a glass of that and just add a shot of lemon juice to it and you'd have a whiskey sour.
Yeah, well, it's definitely that concept of, hey, people were already, a popular way of drinking this was already just to cut it with some whiskey, a little bit of a base spirit. So why not mm-hmm. just put it in the bottle? You know, it's like the B&B thing.
I was going to say, there was a couple other things we've seen where they've done that.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's just go ahead and blend it for them.
Yeah.
It sounds like it would be very good.
I feel like both of those products would be tasty to have. You know, it's still cold out. I feel like it's definitely kind of a cold weather spirit, but we've mm-hmm. still got some frigid months ahead of us. So
yeah, well, see, the bear hunters, they didn't want to go into those caves to find the bears because you might end up a little too close for comfort. So right. they were trying to lure them out of the caves. It was safer that way.
Yeah. Well, and it clocks in at 35% alcohol. So it is it's not quite hot enough to take the place as a base spirit as far as how you might drink it. But, and it's also much too sweet for that. I don't think you'd want to drink 2 ounces of this with, you know, other sweet modifiers. That would be very sweet. But it's definitely something that you could sub in for like another sweet modifier, you know, sub it in place of your triple sec or your Cointreau in a sidecar or a margarita. Also, anywhere you use a honey syrup, you could try it out. Try it in a penicillin. Try it in a hot toddy would be excellent. You can try it in cocktails that classically include like Benedictine, again, kind of a similar element. So, you know, add a bar spoon to your Bucherée or try it in a Widow's Kiss. And it also naturally goes really well with like apple flavors, just honey and apple always work well together. So, you know, try it with Calvados or apple brandy, you know, throw it in a Manhattan with Calvados, or, you know, maybe in a honeymoon. It's a very versatile spirit because honey is so complementary to really the majority of the well. It goes with bourbon, it goes with rye, it goes with brandy, it goes with gin, it goes with tequila even. So you get a bottle of it, you can definitely have some fun with it without worrying about whether or not you're gonna like it. I feel like anytime we talk about a spirit, I want to like rank it like, what, 10 being Saint Germain and 1 being Malort, right? On the like how likely are you gonna enjoy this?
Yeah.
Saint Germain is the most inoffensive spirit on the back bar. It's almost too inoffensive. It goes in everything.
Well, Malort, don't see how you could go wrong with this.
No, I would say it's maybe like an 8.5 on that scale.
I would use it as instead of my simple syrup to make a whiskey sour.
Yeah.
And you know, do the same proportions and everything, but use that instead just to see. Now they did say that it's not like it is sweet, but it's not overly sweet. They right. used a different part of the honeycomb to keep that from happening. I forget exactly the way that went, but there's part of it that would have been too sweet, and they don't use the honey dew, I think. So there's a difference there.
Well, to get a bottle and try it out. I like things that are not too sweet. And yeah. You know, if you can find the if bourbon and the bourbon and honey mixture, that's one less ingredient you need. Or yeah, just do what the hunters did and drink it straight. Whatever.
They say that some people use it in a barbecue sauce recipe.
Yeah, I saw there were lots. I think even on their website, they had both cocktail recipes and food recipes that you could look at.
Yeah.
You could definitely use it in desserts. I feel like you could, you know, just some ice cream. I don't know. Vanilla sponge cake, little Bernjäger on top. No problem.
I've never even heard of this before, and it sounds like something that I would love. So
I think you absolutely would. And you'll be able to find that, I'm pretty sure.
I have never seen a bottle. Anyway, I've never looked. I didn't know about it, but I mean, I've never seen one as far as I know. So I have to look around, and if I can't find it, then I'll go to my online guy and see if he's got it. See if he can hook me up. He's my dealer. He hooks me up with bottles of stuff they don't have in West Virginia.
I know. I want to know what this guy thinks. This is one dude just ordering an entire back bar to somewhere in West Virginia, some residence. Yeah.
What's this guy doing? The ones at the store that I go in and I ask them, they always look at me like, what is up with you? Because I come in and ask for these random bottles of stuff all the time. And they're like, no, we don't carry that. But can you? Well, I mean, we could order it, but we don't have anybody that wants it. I do. Well, we're not going to buy one bottle.
Yeah. You'd probably, like, if you went in and offered to buy a case of something, they'd probably do that for you, but...
You know, there have been times, though, where I've asked for something and they said, no, we don't carry that. And I've gone back for something else maybe a month later and look, and there that is that I'd asked for before they had it. So maybe they thought, oh, this might be right on the cusp of this being popular. We better go out and get some. No, it was just me.
Well, I don't know. I think some of the bottles, I think anything that you're buying for your paper planes, I think you're keeping them in business in that department. So, you know.
Yeah.
If it's a cocktail that the rest of the family likes, you probably can guarantee them you're going to buy a couple bottles.
Yeah, Mom was making up some paper planes there a couple weekends ago, and she had a different Amaro because we'd run out of the Nonino, and she grabbed a cheaper bottle of it there. And she's saying, it's just as good, it's just as good. And then finally she came up and she said, it's not as pretty, though. It's a much prettier drink with the Nonino. I said, yeah, it is. It's a totally different color because it's brown with the other Amaro, and it's a nice luminescent orange when you make it, you know, with the Nonino.
We have that problem at work because we just, for whatever reason, we don't have Nonino as part of our house stock. I don't like that. I wish we did, but people will order paper planes. And when I first started there, I was like, the first paper plane I got, I was looking around, I was like, do we have Nonino? And the bartender was like, oh, no, we use this instead. And I mixed one up, and it's not, it was nice. It worked all right.
Yeah.
But same, it was just this not pretty color. And I'm like, I don't like this. I've got to tell this customer that this is not a paper plane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is, I guess. Because, well, I mean, the paper plane was not made. He happened to have Nonino, and he pushed Nonino, but it wasn't like you have to have that. You need an Amaro, but you don't have to have Nonino. And there's a little bit of difference in taste, but it's not a big, it's not a $30 difference. I don't know.
I would argue that would be like if somebody ordered a Negroni and you made it with something other than Campari, like you made it with Cappelletti instead. Yeah, it's still kind of a Negroni, but I feel like you need to tell me if you're not using one of the three specific ingredients that goes in that, you know?
Yeah.
Like we have right now, I've got a Negroni on the menu, and it's a Negroni play. It's a variant of a Negroni. Mm-hmm. And I have people order like, oh, I'll have the Negroni. And I always have to specify, like, if you want that one has no Campari and no vermouth. It's very weird. I can also make you a classic one, but just some, you got to have some integrity with it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, now we know about Bernjäger.
Yeah. I love that. So I love that. That's a true story. That's funny. It's a liquor product that just came about because how is there, was there that much bear hunting? That's the thing that I was just trying, like, how often is bear hunting a thing that happens in
Germany, I guess.
It said that they were specifically for bear pelts. So I guess that time period wise, that would have made more sense. I don't know. Active industry that is bear hunting.
I guess they're in Russia too, because you see these pictures every once in a while, these random bears walking down a street in Russia, and everybody's just like, oh, that's a bear. I wouldn't be. I'd be running from, lock the door somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I a Russian bear sounds also terrifying. I mess with a Russian bear. Well, there you go. So if you're a bear or a bear hunter, or you just happen to like honey, this spirit's for you.
That's right. This one's for you.
All right. Well, thank you, Dad, for getting that email for us, and thank you to our listener for sending in the question.
Yeah, I said I'll talk to Tay. Maybe it'll end up in a future, and it wasn't that far in the future.
Wow, well, there you go. That's perfect.
But I learned something new again, so I enjoyed it.
I'm gonna get a bottle the next time I'm out at the liquor store.
Me too, if I can find one.
I think my local one might have it. Actually, I'll check tonight. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Dad, for being here.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here. Hope to continue being here.
I don't know what would happen that you wouldn't be. That was ominous. Yeah, watch out for the bears, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. The bears would be chasing me for my honey.
Yeah, I know. You get those. That's what you show up. You get that bear liquor delivered to your house, and all of a sudden you're going to have a bear problem. You guys are up there in the woods. I don't know. Be careful. Yeah.
Well, they just had that movie out. You're Not Even Safe with Winnie Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
That horror movie with Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, because like the IP thing expired, so you can use Winnie the Pooh in a horror movie. Same with Mickey Mouse. There's a Mickey Mouse scary movie that's coming out because one of his images, the copyright expired, and now it's public domain or whatever.
There's a Winnie the Pooh at your house, and he says, "Oh bother," and then slashes your throat.
Oh no. That's only if you drink all the honey liqueur.
That's right. Then he's going to get it.
It's terrifying. Hey, thanks again. If you want to email us your questions, your episode ideas, you can do that at needtheboozecast@gmail.com. If you want to discuss your favorite recipes for bear hunting, you can do that at our Facebook group.
Meet the Boozecast group page on Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg set it up for us personally.
Yep. Go there, do that. And thank you, as always, to our Patreon for supporting us. All right. Well, hey, I've been Dave Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been...
Go out there with their beer beverages, their honey beverages to drink. And, you know, they say they put there for the bear too. And then they say, sometimes you get the bear and sometimes the bear gets you. Depends on who drinks the most.
And the bear just says, man, you're cut off now. That didn't make any sense. Give me the bottle.